everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Report, episode 15.
You remembered the correct episode number.
I know.
And you called it the Star Wars Report.
And I called it the correct name, and I got the correct episode number. I'm one of your hosts, one of many hosts for this particular episode, Riley. And with me, as always, is my dear sister. No! No! Okay, Bethany,
really
welcome.
Hello, welcome everyone. This should be a fun show.
This is. It's a combo show. We're having I like to call it the big combo there. I tried to think of a fast food reference and I'm completely blanked. This is our Dragon Con recap / first regular episode in a while. And we've got more Dragon Con coverage to come. And we'll get into that in just a second. But let's introduce the panel. And it is indeed a panel this week, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Mark Herleman, welcome.
Hey, move over, Whistler. Hey, everybody, how's it going?
It is going and going well, Mark. Thanks so much for showing up. And I'm excited to get your angle because you're going to be the moderator. I didn't tell you this or anything beforehand, but you're going to be on the
audible.
Exactly. I'm kind of calling it audible. You can interview us. And by us, we've got some wonderful people that we have known on the interwebs, but actually got to meet in person at Dragon Con, starting with Michael Faulkner, a.k.a. WompRat99. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, good. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are doing very well. So glad to have you on. And I said this in the pre-show, but nice microphone. I think podcasters, that's like instead of complimenting someone's good looks or something like that, it's a nice sound audio quality there. That works every time. All right. Also, we have Nancy, also known as Nancy Pants on Twitter. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Listeners who follow our Facebook page know you from the awesome walkthrough of the Orange County Convention Center we did in our kind of anticipation for Celebration 6.
Yes, with my professional iPhone video.
Yes, quite the documentary there. I think we've got some future projects that we'll do. And also, last but not least, is Shannon, also known as the perfect little angel. The perfect little angel on Twitter. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you. We kind of ran into each other off and on, but we're dealing with a little bit of delay, but and we lost her. I'm totally leaving that in too. I'm stalling. I know that I can see that Skype's losing the connection a little bit, and I'm like, God, just keep talking. She'll come back. Well, we'll get Shannon back on in a minute. But yes, Shannon, also known as Perfect Little Angel on Twitter. A lot of Twitter people we were meeting up with. Club Jade, also known as Tracy. She was there. There's a number of other people. I mean, there were 8 or 10 people when we counted it all. Brian Young from Big Shiny Robot. Kelly, also known as Yoda Princess on Twitter. I just wanted to get some shout-outs because it's a lot of fun now. This is the first, second major convention that we've been to. And it was very different because we were using Twitter. Even though we didn't even have a constant access, just the ability to communicate with you guys made it different. So I'm going to go ahead and start off we'll still wait for Shannon to get back on. But I'm going to go ahead and get things started off by asking you, Michael, you go to Dragon Con pretty regularly, right?
Yeah, I do. This was my third year attending.
Okay. So how has it changed with social media? Because I imagine that's changed over the years, especially with your experience running into us and that kind of thing.
This is actually my first year with a smartphone under my belt trying to navigate. Before it was, I went without any technology at all the first year, that was a mistake because texting is your savior when you're there at Dragon Con. There's just so much going on, and all your party you go with, they're split up among all the different panels they go to. So the next year we got a sexting plan, and that worked quite well. And then we decided to move up to smartphones this time.
Yeah,
and it worked quite well.
Yeah, I know it made our experience better. We had an iPod Touch that we were using, and that I didn't have that at Celebration. And even though I was never able to log onto any of the hotel's Wi-Fi, someone's munching something. I'm getting hungry right here. Is that you, Nancy? I'm sorry. I'm calling
probably.
You
probably. I moved my microphone, but I guess I didn't move it far enough.
No, it adds
you can tell
effect.
I'm not a professional podcaster.
No, I think it adds some character to it. Because we're so entertaining, it's popcorn, isn't it? You're just listening.
Sorry, you guys are going to have to bear with me.
Oh, there's Shannon. You're back. Yay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've been asking the panel, Shannon. Now I'll jump over to you while we have a good connection. Is this your first time at Dragon Con?
It was, yes.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. And so have you been to any conventions before, or was it your first major convention?
I went to my first major convention was actually C5 last year in Orlando, and then it got me addicted to cons. So I went to MegaCon down here in Orlando last year and managed to see William Shatner and everybody there.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. See, that's actually the same story for us. And technology has really changed, I think, how these things can be experienced, and makes networking a lot easier. Bethany and I were thinking, well, let's invite some people that we met at the con that we know from Twitter and stuff on the show. And we realized that there's a dozen people that we could invite on the show, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. So that definitely changed the experience to make it a lot more fun. Mark, I would like to kick this over to you and let you kind of ask some questions to us, because we were there, and kind of turn the tables a little bit.
Sure thing. I mean, yeah, I've never been to any kind of con, so, you know, for you that have been there, who all's been to more than one con? I mean, I know Riley and Bethany have, so what about Nancy and Michael and Shannon?
Yeah, I've been to...
Okay, we got to stop.
And those are my dogs barking. I told you they were going to bark.
Okay.
I thought you were like being all like lioness about it. Rawr, rawr, rawr. Wow, these cons are crazy.
One of them is named Mara, so she is Star Wars related.
All right, bringing it full circle,
But before they started barking, I was going to say...
I got a Gander and Chewy myself.
Oh, that I went to two celebrations and three Dragon Cons and some other smaller conventions. So.
Oh, wow. So how has the convention scene changed for you, Nancy, looking at it more recently? Do you think the advent of Twitter has kind of changed how we're networking at these conventions?
Yeah, I went to Celebration 3, and kind of like this past Dragon Con, I met a lot of people I knew from online, but it was from a message board that I knew a lot of the people from. And then Dragon Con, when I went, I really was just going with friends from Orlando. And then Celebration 5, I was really just kind of going by myself. But this Dragon Con, it's pretty much I just was going with people I knew from online and along with some of my friends from the area, and then just met up with every person who I knew on Twitter who was also at Dragon Con. So
cool.
It definitely has made it more where it's easier to keep in contact, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I was following a lot of your tweets coming out of there. You, Club Jade, and Riley and Bethany's tweets were kind of few and far there, but I was definitely watching you and Lane interacting and was laughing at me and those author spots.
I think me and Brian and Dunk were at one panel. We were sitting all right next to each other, and we were tweeting the same things all the time. You just watch us, and we're like tapping with our thumbs. It's kind of funny.
No, it looked like miniature thumb wars going on over there. Only with all your fingers.
Now, what about you? What about you, Shannon? How many have you been to of these cons?
This was my third one, my second major one. It was definitely interesting because as a Nancy I met on Jedi Council forums, actually, and everybody else I had met online. And it was definitely an interesting experience meeting all these people and putting faces to these screen names.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, size-wise, would you guys say that this was one of the bigger cons out there? I mean, are there bigger than that? I mean, I've never seen any, so I've always expecting like walking into a city with no walls and everybody's crammed into a gymnasium.
I think the only con that's bigger is Comic-Con. But I'm not really sure about that.
Yeah,
but
I think that's right. I'm pretty sure it's the second biggest. A lot of people call it the biggest because Comic-Con has become so corporate in recent years. I've heard that a lot from many people. That I mean, Comic-Con has like 100,000 people attending. Attendance there is closer to 50, 60, I think, if I was just guesstimating.
You're about right.
Yeah, and I think some people think it might be more, but the numbers might be a little bit,
interpreted.
Interpreted, morphed a little bit for fire code.
Nice. So my next question to everybody is with the different themes and genres going on in a Comic Con of this size, you know, Dragon Con with all the costumes, you got Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, things I don't even know about. Are we talking like sections of the building where like Battlestar Galactica is this whole building over here? Or are we talking like little booths where everybody has their own little booths, kind of like more small key? I mean, how was the paneling set up and stuff like that for it?
Well, actually, it was more like you had different fan tracks, and what a fan track was would be programming that would be, say, all Star Wars related or all Lord of the Rings Tolkien related, stuff like that. So a track would be a group of people or track staff who would organize to have guests, have different panels, have, say, crafting sessions, teaching sessions, lectures, that sort of thing. And it might be held in different rooms, but usually each track would have its own room. Like there would be the Star Wars room where most of the Star Wars panels would be held in. But say if you have a bigger star like Carrie Fisher, there's no way the Star Wars room could hold all the people who wanted to see Carrie Fisher. So you'd have large auditoriums or ballrooms that would hold larger panels and guests that were well known that would attract a big, pretty big crowd. Now, Michael, I know you were pretty involved with the American Sci-Fi Media track. What was that like, just kind of working in a track? What was it like?
It was actually quite interesting. The staff actually puts together their schedule of events, what they think they want their panels to be, several months ahead of time. I think it was probably around, I want to say May or June, when they finally published the list of what they wanted to talk about. And they started asking for volunteers, because the difference between Dragon Con and, say, like Comic Con, for instance, is that Dragon Con is completely fan run. There are no real corporate interest in this. There's a few sponsors that sponsor different tracks, but yeah, Everything you see there, everything you do is completely for the fans, by the fans. So everyone who's on those panels is a volunteer. They're showing up, taking time out of their schedule to basically speak in front of everybody who's there. And basically, I just put my name in for a bunch of the panels and said, I'm interested in talking about this with a whole bunch of fans. And ended up, you know, they sorted out however many panels they need to fill and how many slots they have on a panel. And then they just drop in wherever they think you're going to be appropriate, and you show up and just chat.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. And all the volunteers, especially, it changes the atmosphere because, you know, so much of it is run by volunteers. The security, everything from that to you name it.
Registration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most everything is run by volunteers. I'm not even certain if there's really anyone who's paid.
Which makes it kind of different than a celebration, because you're kind of wondering who's running things, because there is kind of an absence of any kind of sanity. there's this overwhelming lack of organization compared to something like the celebration, although that's not necessarily always a bad thing.
This year, security done by the Red Faction.
I did hear, though, from a lot of people who've been going to Dragon Con that this year seemed more organized.
Yes.
I hadn't been to one in 3 years, so it was hard for me to really judge, but I know at least registration. We got there early for registration, and we waited like an hour. But I remember last year seeing tweets and my friends telling me that they were waiting in line for 4 hours. So
yeah,
at least that got a lot better.
Yeah. Wow, that's insane.
I remember the Star Wars track staff said that the organization was a good bit better, but that there were rumors of it becoming hired out security or hired out registration next year or in the next couple of years. So that could be interesting, trying to transition that way.
But, yeah, sorry, Red Faction, the 501st is coming in.
Exactly.
They're really kind of playing catch up at this point. I mean, this is the 25th anniversary of Dragon Con, and how do we look at this? It was really small for a very, very long time. Then suddenly it just exploded, and people just came out of the woodwork. I want to go to Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And the problem was that they had their methods all set up, to accommodate the smaller crowd. So that's when you start seeing this 4 to 5 to 6 hour wait in line for registration. And now they put in this new barcode system where you show up with this postcard you got in the mail, they scan it, and your badge is there, and you're done. Things like that. So yeah, they're really driving to get more organized because, you know, this year was 40 to 60,000 people. They're expecting even more next year to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also, go ahead.
I was going to say, Mark, don't joke about the 501st doing security because at Celebration 3, the 501st did direct traffic.
I know. Actually, nice. At DragonCon.
They also did it at Celebration 5, too.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, I hadn't been outside, but yeah, I remember we were waiting out. I was one of the people who camped out all night for George Lucas at C3, and when they finally let us inside the building, we had to cross the street, and the stormtroopers were there just stopping traffic, and I'm like, okay, I've been up all night, but this is totally worth it to see stormtroopers directing traffic.
Yes.
Quick, bust a shot off! Quick, get the camera!
Yeah. I heard that last year at Dragon Con, some drunk guy was actually kind of not being very nice to an actress, and that the 501st actually kind of surrounded the actress and acted as security, which is really cool.
Yes, that was Adrian Curry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
At Celebration 5. Yeah.
Oh, that was at Celebration. Okay.
Yeah, that's just awesome, by the way. Yeah. So you're one of the few. I've actually never had the honor, Nancy, of talking to someone who was in that hailstorm of that terrible weather who survived.
It was horrible. That's the reason why I complained about Indianapolis so much, whereas everyone else complains about Florida heat, because I waited out all night for that and was not in the right attire, and I got so sick afterwards. But it was worth it because I saw George, so yeah.
Can you, although I would love to have seen George Lucas actually walk out and greet that line, can you imagine? He would either get mobbed or everybody would be just happy to see him.
Yeah. If Jon Stewart comes to Celebration 6 and they do another interview thing, I'd wait to do that because I thought it was a lot better than what I saw at C3, but I didn't last year.
Yeah.
Now, by interview, what do you mean? Are we talking a panel? Or are you talking like individual people just getting to interview the authors? Because that author panel that you guys went to from the tweets coming out sounds like that was just as a fanboy, that would have just been a total blast. Because I was having fun just watching you guys' tweets about the Wraith Squadron things that were coming out of there. And just, oh, man, so much fun stuff.
Yeah,
it was actually a lot of fun. It was probably one of the most fun panels I've been to in a while because it was more fan-based than anything else. And the questions that were asked were actually really good questions. I think our favorite one was asking them about the favorite scene that they had written. And
that was my question.
Was it Aaron Alston getting teary-eyed and then getting choked up? Same thing with Michael Stackpole.
Mike Stackpole got teary-eyed when he was talking about one of his most memorable scenes is the death of Elagos in Dark Tide Ruin, and he kind of got choked up. And then Aaron Alston, all he had to say was Iron Fist, and everyone went, oh, knowing what he was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
That's sad. It was a great panel, and speaking of panels, we'll probably do a episode that's nothing but some of the panels I recorded, and it will be a long episode because there were some really good panels. But that will definitely be in.
Yeah.
And that one actually recorded very well. I was actually doing some production work on it today, and the audio came through pretty well. So we'll have to work through that. Looking forward to it, though.
Well, also to answer your question, Mark, some panels or whatever you would call them sometimes, they're called interviews or just guest appearances. It depends. But really, it depends on how they're set up. Sometimes it can be a fans asking questions to where they'll line up for a Q&A and they'll ask authors or actors or producers questions one at a time. You can also have more of an interview style panel, which was what George Lucas and Jon Stewart did. Jon Stewart sort of interviews George Lucas, gets him to talk, asks some of the fans submitted questions from before, and that's more of an interview style. Then you might have a bunch of panelists who they have really great personalities and they get along really well with each other. So the moderator basically just sits there and makes sure nothing goes wrong.
Yeah.
And the panelists take over everything.
So how many of you guys actually went and saw stuff that was non-Star Wars? I mean, I love Star Wars. That's no joke around. But Battlestar Galactica, that's something I dig. And like I said before, Buffy and the Angel Universe, that's something cool. And was there any Marvel stuff going on out there as well?
Well, I didn't really do much Marvel stuff, but we did do a number of non-Star Wars things. We did Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did a number of other things, too. What about you guys? Shannon? Shannon, I know you attended some Battlestar stuff.
I went to actually all four Battlestar panels. I went to a Smallville panel with Michael Rosenbaum.
That was awesome.
I went to wasn't the one you guys went to, but okay. Another one that I went to. I went to the first Star Trek Voyager one with Kate Mulgrew, Garrett Wing, and Robert Ducky McNeil. That was hilarious. And then Gates McFadden and Brent Spiner. What else did I do? Oh, Dollhouse with Eliza Dushku and Tomo Pennicott. And I was very impressed with all of them, actually. I think BSG was probably one of my favorite ones.
Nice. And what kind of stuff did they do for Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, man, they had everybody except for Aaron Douglas and Mary McDonald. So it was Michael Hogan, Richard Hatch, Trisha Helfer, Tomo, Edward James Olmos, and then Robert Grazier, which was one of the science guys that helped out with BSG and basically just asked the different questions. And that was my first experience with it. And they are so proud of their show, and it made me feel really good inside for watching. And I think that was one of the most important things, that every single one of these actors were so proud of the product they were, that they spilled it out to everybody in the audience. And then at the end, Admiral Dama Eddie was said, "So say we all," and had the entire crowd, which was probably about, if I'm correct, 4,000, 5,000 people in the auditorium, say, "So say we all."
I know.
See, I'd heard about that. That would have been something to be a part of. Oh, man.
Yeah, we have that on. We have one on tape, too, because that's his kind of tradition when he's closing out panels that he's on. And it's insane. It is pretty insane.
I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it.
I know.
Might be the fever kicking in. I don't know which one, but still, I mean, it was very awesome. And the other awesome thing was the Walk of Fame, guys.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Oh, the Walk of Fame. It is essentially the autograph hall, but it's larger than most autograph halls at conventions. And I guess the best way to describe it is just an area with tables set up where various celebrities do their autograph signings. And you can go up walk up, talk to various celebrities, get them to sign your things for a modest price, of course. And but a lot of them don't mind. You can walk up, talk to them, shake their hand. Some even would let you get a picture with them and just say hi. And so that's where we did most of our interviews, like the Star Wars one we just released. And while we're talking about Battlestar, we do have an episode. We haven't recorded it yet, but we do have a number of Battlestar Galactica interviews, including Edward James Olmos, Trisha Helfer, Tomo Pennicott.
And Richard Hatch,
and they were all awesome to talk to. So we'll divert from our Star Wars centric to do a BSG episode very soon. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, it's been a lot of fun talking about our time at Dragon Con together. But I'll tell you we've got a couple options. Bethany, you got a question?
Actually, two Dragon Con centric episodes.
Okay.
But for everyone, I know that I had some of my favorite moments at Dragon Con, but what were some of your favorite moments at Dragon Con?
Good one. Let's start with Michael.
My favorite moment of going to Dragon Con is usually the same each year. It sounds almost like a cop-out, but it's not really.
Sorry, go ahead.
My favorite part about Dragon Con each year is getting to see people, especially friends with podcasting and everything else, that I haven't seen in a year. You know, I communicate with them over Twitter or Facebook or message boards, but really gets a chance to get to see them again and get to hang out. And, you know, it's like a big family reunion. The other part I really like is just hanging out with the fans and you know, geeking out, being able to kind of be myself for, you know, 4 days and just geek out with everybody. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was some of my favorite too. Is one thing that I always like about conventions is just being with the fans, having fun. One thing I really liked about Dragon Con was interviewing the stars, actually.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. My favorite single moment, though, there isn't as it's a little bit harder than Celebration. Celebration was when George Lucas walked on stage, basically, pretty much after waiting all night. But I'd say really the best that's hard to decide. The best moment for me would be probably at the Ask the Authors panel. It's a hard decision, though, because there's a couple that would really come close. The Smallville panel was genuinely hilarious.
Yes, it was.
And it kind of came out of left field where I wasn't really sure. but it turned out to be really awesome anyway. Even though I'm not the biggest Smallville fan, as I said on our daily recap episodes. Let's jump over to Nancy. What was your favorite moment of Dragon Con?
This is really hard because there were a lot of different panels that I really enjoyed. The Carrie Fisher panel was hysterical.
No, I heard the tales.
Yes, it was definitely not safe for children.
It was on CNN, wasn't it?
I don't know. I
saw it. Literally, this panel, she was so over the top, I heard. I saw a CNN article about it. It's like, Princess Leia jumps up on top of the table or something like that was the headline.
Yep, basically that's how she started the panel. Wow. But I mean, that was just funny because she's really hysterical. And the Ask the Authors panel was really good to see all the authors interacting. Yeah. And, you know, Timothy Zahn telling me he liked my shirt, you know, I can't really, you know, say anything else about that, but I think probably not really a moment, but the entire Heir to the Empire panel, just because the room was almost filled and we were talking about a 20-year-old book, and you know, the cheers that, you know, everything got, and just whenever he talked a little bit about the newest Star Wars book he's working on, and everyone just kind of was really looking forward to it and wanted to hear more. And you could tell, like, yeah, people, this was the book that started it all. And the fact that 20 years later, people are still talking about it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. Shannon, do you have a favorite moment?
Can I do like a top three? I would say My favorite moment was probably meeting all the BSG people. Because I had just gotten into it. I've seen these people. Meeting the Voyager people was a close second to them. Then being called a smart aleck by Michael Rosenbaum, that was probably the highlight. It's probably the one I talked the most about. and then, of course, at the end of, I would say the Ask the Authors panel, because their reactions to my question was really good.
Yeah,
and
did we all ask,
reason why?
Oh, sorry to interrupt, but did we all ask a question at the Ask the Authors panel? Because I did, and then
we did.
See, my question was, I got to tell poor Timothy Zahn's face that Sacrifice was the first major expanded universe book I read.
Yeah, and I wanted to slap
you.
I'm
so surprised at that.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I was like,
I didn't know.
Man, you know. You need to start where everyone's supposed to start.
I know.
Heir to the Empire.
I didn't know. I was an ignorant 12-year-old. I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, make me feel old. Thanks.
And then he told me, "Oh wow, Bethany, you should read this book. It's really great."
Yeah.
And so
I didn't
did.
Like it.
So yeah.
Well, cool. And since we all kind of talked about Dragon Con, I do apologize for some of the delays and technical difficulties. That's just the nature of doing this stuff live. But it's been a lot of fun talking to you guys. But we're not done yet. Mr. Herleman, you've been on our panel. You've listened to all of our Dragon Con coverage and stuff. If I had to ask you which one you would be inclined towards, would you be more interested in Celebration 6 or Dragon Con if you had to choose?
Ooh.
Think.
Ooh, that is a good one.
You must choose wisely.
I know. That's hard to say because, I've got like such a plethora of geek inside me that wants to say go Dragon Con, but then I look around and I'm like, let's be honest with ourselves here. Yeah, you got some Transformers and some other stuff sitting around here, but everything is Star Wars. I mean, I think I'd have to go with Celebration 6, mainly because I know how much fun you guys all had, and that was your first one. And so, you know, I don't know. I can't wait.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, for the rest of the panelists, Shannon, we'll start with you. Would you rather go to Dragon Con or C6, or are you planning on doing both next year?
Well, I just got a new job. I know most of you guys saw that today.
Yes,
so
congratulations.
So I'm very happy about that. If I can build off enough of my vacation time, I'm hoping to be able to do both next year because I live in Orlando. I can save up a lot of money. I can bring my own snacks. I can save on parking. I don't have to buy a hotel room, which I'm not offering my cash to much anybody else right now. but I mean, I might if you guys really want to. I live really close, but I think the experience at Dragon Con spoiled me.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Nancy?
Well, C6 is pretty much a safe bet for me because it's also in my backyard.
It's kind of it's a cheap question.
Yeah, I want to do both. I don't know if I would be able to, mainly because of the little thing called ConCrud. Because you go to one convention, and by the time you get back, you're tired, and you just want to sleep for days, and then to turn around and go to another major convention, I don't know if I can do that. But I'm crossing my fingers that I can. Yeah.
I was very lucky that I didn't get
ConCrud. Speaking of ConCrud.
Yeah, but if I had to choose, I think I would more choose Celebration just because Star Wars is my thing. And I think now that I'm more involved in fandom, I would have a much better time at C6 than I had at C5. And I had a great time at C5. So I want it to be next August right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's the kind of thing where for me, I'll just go ahead and give my preference. I enjoy Dragon Con, but it's not as much of a community experience, and I know a lot more people going to Celebration personally, which just makes it more fun when you actually have somebody that you can hang out with at the con. It makes a huge difference. So con tip for anyone interested. They should go to
let's see. My problem with C6 and Dragon Con is that they're so close together.
One week.
Even though I'm here in Atlanta, it's about an 8-hour drive from here to Orlando, and Dragon Con's pretty much in my backyard. I think I'm going to side more with Dragon Con, and if I get a chance to, I'm still looking at everything because I've already got the tickets ready for next year's Dragon Con. They're cheaper if you buy them there at the event. But I'm still looking to see if I can't negotiate my way into getting into the Celebration 6 as well. Just because I haven't been to a Celebration before, it'll be really, really neat to do that one time. But I like the variety. And then also, you know, again, that family sense you get out of Dragon Con. You know, some people I don't get to see at all, except for that one time a year. So,
yeah. Yeah. That does seem to be the common theme of whether or not you actually know someone there. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, if I had to choose one or the other, I would go with Celebration 6. Mainly, I guess Riley and I are kind of similar on this, but mainly because there are a lot more people going to Celebration that we know. And I did have a bit more fun at Celebration, although I had a ton of fun at both cons. But I just enjoyed Celebration 5 a little more than I enjoyed Dragon Con. It's, for one thing, it was easier to navigate. actually get to panels
the Marriott.
And stuff.
Quick! Yeah.
To the Hyatt. Ah! Yeah, so.
OCC is probably just as big as those, though. I mean, OCC is huge.
Yeah, that's true. We weren't even using all of it. It was in a smaller part of it.
Yeah, but that's true.
Yeah,
but I feel that
from one end to the other, I think.
Yeah.
The good thing of the Orange County Convention Center, though, is that there aren't so many levels. Like, when I always got lost in the Hyatt, trying to figure out which level to go on. Because there's two levels that aren't connected, so I had to figure out, okay, where are we now? Where do we have to go? But
yeah. Well, it's like, actually, Bethany, I'll confess this right now. I haven't said it, told anyone, but we actually had the system to where, on the Marriott, you have to go down and across a skywalk to get to the Hilton. And you have to go up a level to the skywalk to get to the Hyatt. So we actually, I had to memorize a jingle of the Hyatt is higher so that I would remember. It's that disorienting. So that I would actually remember where to go. That's crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. It's been a pleasure to talk to you all. I'm going to give you an option. Pick one. We're going to jump over to some news topics. It's been far too long since we actually talked about the latest and greatest in the Star Wars galaxy. We, as I mentioned at the outset, there's been a few controversies in fandom. Just a few.
Just a few? Oh, I'll stay on for that. I like controversy.
So, yeah, I was going to say, anybody who wants is welcome to jump on for some of our news topics, or if you have to go, you can head out as well.
Let's see. I have nothing to do for the rest of the night other than lay in bed and be miserable.
Okay. And we will remedy that here on the Star Wars Report. And so I know we did took a bit of our time doing the Dragon Con coverage, but we do have some news stories that I would love to talk about. And the first one being, this is a little bit old. We're jumping back in time, back into the time machine, when bleedingcool.com, it's quite a name.
Yeah.
Is it a British site, I guess? I don't know. Bleedingcool.com, headline, scoop, in capital letters, Star Wars Phantom Menace 3D is done, and signed off by Lucas himself. I've just had a quick chat with Matt Bristow, head of production at the Stereo House Prime Focus, after the Big Three debate at Empire Big Screen. He's confirmed that all the work on the I can't read right now is complete on the Phantom Menace 3D. So that's early. They've got a couple months to spare. Is that a bad sign?
Well, you know, George Lucas, he's going to want to make changes.
No. So. No, he's not going to change anything. No. Really? No.
Search your feelings. You
I can't help that
way.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Prime Focus has had kind of a mixed reputation for some of their work. They've done really cool stuff, like with Tron, and then they've done some conversions that have been pretty lampooned. As well, so yeah, so that's interesting. Star Wars 3D, is anybody here planning on attending it or not attending it? I know I am.
Oh, definitely attending that with the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're going together, right?
I assume so. I don't know why we wouldn't.
Plans now. Let's do this.
So
we'll drive down to Orlando. We'll make it a big event. Michael!
I am not planning to go see 3D Star Wars. Unfortunately, the 3D effects tend to give me a headache, and I won't enjoy it as much as I would in 2D.
I hope they release a 2D counterpart. This is my 2D counterpart. Affordable tickets. But yeah, no, I really do hope they release a 2D counterpart. Although I don't know, they may not. I can see why they wouldn't.
They're not doing it in IMAX 3D, right? They're just doing it in plain 3D.
I have no idea. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not very familiar with the various systems. I know a little bit of the Real D system, but I don't know much about the IMAX system or how that would work. Let's see. Another interesting story.
Yeah, I enjoyed Real D.
Yeah, Clone Wars Season 4 premieres this Friday. It's a busy start.
Man, I have to work. Ugh.
Yeah. 8
o'clock. Guess what's going to be on the break room.
Exactly. 1 hour premiere of Star Wars Clone Wars Season 4. Actually, I think this will be the best season yet. And that's what I said last season, and you can probably hear my hesitance. But it does look pretty awesome. I'm going to play a little bit of the audio of the trailer here. We have Admiral Ackbar himself. It's a trap. Confirmed already. People kept wondering, is that Ackbar? Is that Ackbar? And nobody actually confirmed it until
We actually got it confirmed at Star Wars Weekends by Dave Filoni, Nancy, and I did, because we totally did.
Okay. See, I didn't.
We did.
When did they release the first trailer?
We did when he came on.
Yeah. They released the first trailer. I guess there's that little 30-second spot that kind of briefly showed him after the last one.
I was betting it was him anyway. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your home. So Admiral Ackbar. Now, talking to you guys, Michael. Do you watch Clone Wars?
I do. I don't have cable here. I actually cut the cord on that a while back, but I do try to catch it. I think it's released, what, Sundays or Mondays on StarWars.com?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been releasing it on Mondays. Yeah, that's how, same deal with us. That's how we usually watch it. It's just on the website when they release it officially, because it's you just have to wait for it to come online if you don't have cable. I really wish, and you can buy it on iTunes the next day as well, which is nice. But yeah, Clone Wars, I'm a big fan, although I'm not really sure about how the whole season will go, because we haven't really heard anything other than Admiral Akbar. There's a new cool general, Jedi general, and that's about all we know.
Well, actually, Tom Kane said in the interview we did with him that there would be Yoda-centric episodes.
That's true.
In
That's true.
Season 4.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that, too.
And cure the fangirl flailing with the Yoda-centric episodes for me.
Oh.
Because as I look at my bookshelf between Yoda, Yoda takes up most of it, and so does R2-D2. So, yeah.
What is it about Yoda that you like?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out. I mean, ever since, oh man, I think it's, I watched it when I was young and I saw, you know, I'm not going to, you know, brag or anything, but my dad worked on Phantom Menace. So I think my love of Star Wars came from there. And I think seeing the puppet of Yoda made me love him even more.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah. Well, I'm going to run through a couple stories and just grab your guys' thoughts on them before we close out the episode. But we've been talking about it and off air, but we haven't actually addressed it on air. No. No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
What?
The no.
No.
That no.
No. Okay, I had to do it.
Oh goodness!
Did they hire you for the movie?
Well, I can't. Here's my Krat dragon. Woo!
That's my. I'm not even gonna get into that one.
Oh goodness!
That's my Krat dragon impression.
Riley, you are going to get mobbed at Celebration 6 for being.
Yeah, I can't repeat the comment that was made about the Krat dragon noise at the adult
table. I can't either.
But if you go back and look through my tweets from Sunday night, September 4th, you can figure out what was said about the Krat dragon voice.
Oh man, so the Blu-ray's coming
it's
out
a mystery
this weekend. We were talking to you guys, Michael, you said you were not we talked to you guys a little bit before we started the show, but Michael, you were the only one who said that you were not planning to get it because you had the original versions from the DVD set that came out recently. Is it mainly, are you much of a bonus features guy, or an HD guy, or I guess what would convince you to get a Blu-ray box set? What's missing? Let me just ask you, besides the crazy noise that everybody's upset about.
Right. Well, for me, I mean, the first part, I do own the, I bought the DVDs when they first came out in, what was it, 97, and then, or shortly thereafter, and then the 2004 editions where they had the originals tacked on. So I have both versions of each of the films. I really didn't feel it was necessary, even though it's going to look completely gorgeous in the new HD format.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel it was necessary to buy another copy, honestly. And a lot of the bonus features, you know, I'm going to see them around anyway. I know a lot of the bonus features before kind of hit the internet in different places. And I'm not much on bonus features, although I do appreciate the fact that Lucasfilm is opening up the archives like they are. Because there's so much stuff they've got in there that, you know, I love to see how they put everything together, but it's not something I sit down and watch all the time. I really don't know that there's something that would really convince me to buy it. Mostly because I'm really waiting for what is going to be the ultimate edition, you know, because I feel like they're kind of parsing things out from the archives. You know, they say this is new stuff from the archives. There's something back in the back corner still. And I'm waiting for it to kind of sweep everything out and put it out on discs and say, this is it. The movies aren't being changed anymore. This is the final, you know, this is what Star Wars is. And when they say that, I've got a copy. I'll pre-order it and be right on top of it.
Do you think they ever will? Out of curiosity?
I think they will, but only, and I hope it's not anytime soon, only after George Lucas, you know, passes on. Because he's the one really driving all the changes to the Star Wars saga. And I mean, I don't want people to get the wrong impression. I have I have the utmost sympathy for what he's trying to do, and I have supported 90% or greater of the changes he's made. A lot of them, I think, have been fantastic changes.
Yeah.
There have been a few that I've had quibbles with.
So but, it wasn't really a matter of you had it, you're excited, and then you got really upset when they added the Crate Dragon screen. That's not really the reason you decided not to get it?
No, not at all.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I am, because I'm not the biggest fan of the Crate Dragon screen, although I do think something was needed, because I didn't even, as a kid who watched the movie several times, I didn't even know that that's what he was doing. You'd only know that if you read the novelization or something, because that didn't sound anything like a sound a human could possibly make, so I never even connected it. I thought there's just some random sound in the distance of, you know, something like that. So I can see where the logic behind it was that it needs to be changed, but not the biggest fan of the final decision on what sound they chose. I don't know who thought that. You know, there's the sound. I heard this really weird sound, and I will do desperately not to sync to the adult themes panel reference to it. But anyway, someone thought to themselves, they heard this sound, they said, Obi-Wan. And I would like to know who that person is, because surely not. I can't even possibly imagine George going, I heard this sound, and I like it a lot. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. I just can't hear it.
Nice George impersonation there.
Yeah, I was saying the exact same thing.
Mark, I know as someone who's not fully equipped with all the latest and greatest of all of the HD and Blu-ray and all the equipment that goes with it to even watch this stuff, are you offended by some of the changes that they've done?
No, you know, I've always been one of those Han shot first guys. It changed the character for me. But I got over that pretty fast. I mean, you know, so it's another change. I've still got my DVD finally of the version that I like, so I watch that scene every once in a while just to remind myself, hey, Han shot first. But, you know, I thought some of them were a little different. I know, you know, Austin and me were talking about it in the EUcast chat. He was kind of bothered by it, which, you know, made me think about it, you know, and then I started looking at the other scenes, and I think about, like, Jabba's, when you come up to Jabba's palace, now it's a big, big door. You know, I thought that was a great addition. Then I started geeking out on that thought. And I go, well, now that changes the whole dimensions of the building. When you see it from a distance out, you know, you thought that door was really small. Now we know it's huge. So that means that whole thing is huge. And I really geeked out on it for about like 10 minutes. Just that one little change. And then, you know, you start going on Twitter and you see other people's way they're geeking out. Some are pretty, you know, avidly, this is crazy. And then you've got others that are like, I like it. And, you know. For me, it didn't affect it too bad. I mean, I thought the whole no thing was all right. I mean, the cheesy no is something that we kind of really went with in the prequels. I mean, it was like cheesy enough when Luke did it in the original trilogy, but the fact that George is like, hey, let's run with this. This is a good thing. Was like, okay, George, we'll go with it. And it's kind of like when they were doing the original trilogy and Harrison Ford said, you know, George, you can write it, but you can't say it. And it's one of those kind of things. It's just a classic George line that, you know, now because he's inserted it yet again, that it's carrying on. And I kind of want to see it like at the end of, you know, the very end, like they work some way in to get it said one more time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where, yeah. So the changes are to me minor enough to where it doesn't change the entire tone of the films. A lot of people say that, blatantly state that adding the two extra no's, especially the last one, ruins, and I quote, ruins Return of the Jedi, because it completely changes Darth Vader's motives and thoughts to the scene. Now, it does change the dynamics of the scene. Darth Vader verbalizes what that the audience would have to, by extension, well, understand.
Riley, you're hitting on a point that I really want to address right now. You know, we think about, oh, Vader's been changed, but the reality here is George Lucas changed the Vader that most of us ever thought about when the prequels came out. Because now we saw this little awesome kid, 9-year-old, everybody loves a 9-year-old, and affectionate, you know, we watch him grow into a Jedi Knight. Now we're getting the Clone Wars. We're watching him just rock star out every Friday night. And so you're starting to love him. And episode 3 worked because we didn't have enough background on Anakin. So the fall was plausible. But, you know, and I was thinking about that, of how Vader isn't as evil as he's been portrayed, you know, for so long. And it seems like now a lot of the things that we've gotten of Vader seems a little out of character from what we've seen in the prequel trilogy. So it just reminds me of that, of like, you know, people complain about, oh, Vader's been, you know, neutered, for, you know, better lack of word. But it's like, well, he's been that way for a while. And, you know, we're just kind of catching up with what the story is behind him. I mean, I still, when I see those stories where he enslaved a bunch of people and this, that, and the other thing, it's like, I want to know those type of backstories of the behind the character. That's, to me, kind of why the book for Empire's, or Revenge of the Sith really strikes out to me, because you got more of what was going on in his head than what was played on the film. And I dig that kind of stuff, because it kind of helped me understand how he fell. Because, you know, you see little young Anakin and you're just like, oh, this kid's got everything going for him. And then he turns and flips on a dime and all of a sudden he's doing everything just totally evil. And I think that the prequels originally set that up, and that's where, you know, the whole Vader change. I don't think he's as hardcore as we always thought he was, because he was never that hardcore to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. Now, Michael, I know you're definitely not a big fan of this change at all. I'm instead of just asking you the question everybody's asking is, you know, what do you think and why and blah blah blah. What do you think of? Let me phrase it this way: what do you think Darth Vader's motives and thoughts process was in that climactic scene when he makes the decision to betray the Emperor and save his son?
Well, I always saw the scene as very, very powerful in the way that it was originally written and shot, because the point of Vader not saying anything is that you can actually see, from the viewer's perspective, you can see the inner turmoil behind the mask. You can almost see his face and his brain thinking, okay, what do I do? What do I do? I've got this guy who's almost like my father here, who's been my master and confidant for 20 plus years. And I've got this boy who's my son right here. And the former is now killing the latter, you know, right in front of me. What do I do? Who is my allegiance to? And I actually really, really enjoy, from a myth arc perspective, that pivotal moment right there where he is behind the mask trying to make the hardest decision of his entire life.
Yeah.
Do I betray one person or the other? And to me, I feel like the addition of the no almost dumbs it down, kind of. You know, like that one moment where there's a spark of redemption, where he turns back from being Vader, you know, being the most evil man in the universe, to being Anakin Skywalker, the man who's going to turn the prophecy, or, you know, to fulfill the prophecy and bring balance back. You know, to me, it was much more emotionally grabbing to have it silent and him just reach over, pick up the Emperor and toss him over, than to scream no and jump in there. You know, it feels almost like it cheapens the moment for me.
Let me ask you this. Did you feel like the no was too dramatic or overdone in Revenge of the Sith?
I honestly didn't mind the no too much in Revenge of the Sith, just because,
okay, yeah,
to me, the Vader we saw in Revenge of the Sith wasn't the same Vader that we saw, you know, 20 years down the road in Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. I mean, it's not the same guy. He's still Anakin Skywalker in his maturity level at that point, but he's not to the point where he's been enslaving Wookiees and destroying planets as he has been in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people bring up the idea that it shows a reluctance of Darth Vader he's conflicted as to what he's doing. And they say that damages it because in most people's mind, he's made that decision to turn from the Emperor and from his dark ways to save his son and redeem himself and his son.
But as far as interpretations go, what about interpreting the no in the new no in Empire as a no, as in, I'm not going to allow you to do this to my son?
Well, and that's what I think.
Well, that's exactly, I want to touch on exactly what you just said, Bethany. And I know Nancy wants to talk, so after I'm done, she gets the microphone. But the thing with changing this no is now you've given Palpatine about 4 or 5 more seconds to feel what Vader's going to do. I mean, now the intent is there. He's already made up his mind. I'm not going to let you do it. I'm going to stop you. Palpatine would sense that in the Force. I mean, he should have saw the attack coming, whereas before, it was a last-minute, split-second, Vader was debating it, and then all of a sudden just decided to grab him through him. I mean, it happened so fast, it was believable. So I could see it from that fanatical side of you where, you know, I can go with these things where, you know, well, that makes it a little less Star Wars, because Palpatine, you know, we watched him dice 4 of the best Jedi Masters of their time in a split second, and yet Vader says, no, no, I'm coming to throw you over the edge. And he's got, like, all day in the Sith world. I mean, he took down three of the Masters in that amount of time. And now we're supposed to buy that, okay, Vader said no twice, and he's coming for you, but I want to watch Luke fry! I'm not looking at you, Vader. I don't buy it.
It does add a kind of interesting dynamic.
Oh, my God.
Good impression.
Nancy, did you have something?
Well, I did, but now I'm going to respond to what Mark just said.
Okay.
Because you can say, well, now he has a warning, but if Palpatine is that all-powerful anyway, he should have known that Vader was conflicted, because Vader's looking back and forth at Luke and Palpatine, like, you know, for a while before he actually goes and throws him over the edge. And Palpatine was just so confident in his ability that he has Vader, and that Vader's never going to turn no matter what. And that was his downfall, you know? Your overconfidence is your weakness. That's exactly what Luke said. And I did want to... My comment was that at Celebration 5, they were showing all the movies in one of the... I think it was a digital theater. And I stayed to watch Return of the Jedi because it's my favorite movie. And when Vader killed the Emperor, everyone cheered, and it kind of made me cry. Yeah. And it was really cool because you have a whole bunch of Star Wars nerds, you know, cheering because, you know, Anakin's back. And I'm like, yeah, this is why I like Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
But as far as they know, I don't necessarily like it. I don't think it ruins the scene. I think after I watch it a billion times, it'll probably just go right over my head.
I'm there with you. I don't really particularly like it, and I kind of agree with Michael on the premise of it does change the dynamics of the scene. Although I always interpreted Darth Vader as making that decision to not let the Palpatine kill his son, that was the pivotal point where Darth Vader became Anakin Skywalker once again, and I can see where that would fit into the scenes thematically, and I do think a huge portion of the outrage among some of the geek community, so to speak, is based on it's another change, and it's sort of like picking at the wounds of people who didn't like any change, really, who want the raw original vision that they saw in theaters in 1977, or in this case, 1983. So I guess that kind of makes a conundrum for me, because I don't mind it that much, and I really do think people really overreact to it. It does not ruin Return of the Jedi. It does not completely change the entire character of Darth Vader. It doesn't even completely change the entire way the scene plays. It just changes the way the story is told. I think it communicates the same thing. Darth Vader makes that decision. He's no longer going to serve the Emperor. He's going to turn back to the light, save his son. That still happens in that scene, and all those elements are still there, but it's a different way of telling it. And so in that way, I don't really think it's as big of a deal. Do I prefer the other way? Yes, I do prefer the old version. But I guess that doesn't mean I'm canceling my Blu-ray pre-order or what have you.
Basically, to save on time, I'm going to say ditto.
Ditto.
Which is a cheap cop-out, exactly. But it's kind of how I feel.
Although
Riley's looking at it, that's exactly how I see the Han shoots first. I mean, the way I saw it originally was, you know, he was cutthroat character, and, you know, by making it go the other way around, he's more golden heart, and, you know, to me it changed who the character was, but it didn't destroy the character. And I, you know, for me, I'm not going to be getting the Blu-ray only because I just don't have the technology. So in that regards, I'm kind of like Michael. I might score out and get the Ultimate Edition by the time I finally have the money to get the stuff. That newer edition will have come out with even more content, because that does seem to be the way George rolls. So
yeah. Yeah, there's a lot in the archives list. Although this video just came out today and I just found that even classic movies aren't safe from George Lucas.
You cursed rat! Look what you've done! I'm melting!
No!
You're having way too much fun with that.
You have any idea what you'd have to look forward to if you stayed here? 9 chances out of 10, we'd both wind up at a concentration camp. Isn't that true, Louis?
No!
See, if we didn't have the no, we wouldn't have all this fun making fun of it.
Exactly.
We have to think positively.
Yeah, we've got a new meme. Well, that was a nice long discussion. I think we have some varying opinions, but it's a shame that something like that can be so divisive, quite honestly. I hate it when this happens, when really anything just makes people get so back and forth and nasty to each other.
I mean, I know.
You don't need to go around insulting people's mothers just because they disagree with you on 5 seconds of audio in a movie that came out 30 years ago. Even if we are doing a podcast.
Or
about
someone's
it.
Father, just because they happen to be, you know, someone's daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how are we doing on time? We are jumping along. Wow, we are already over an hour, but I'll tell you what, guys. We're going to go ahead and let you go and move over to a little bit of feedback before we close out the episode. But thank you so much, Michael, Shannon, Nancy. It's an absolute blast talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry about the technical difficulties, but thanks, Nancy.
Thanks. Sorry, my dogs decided to join the podcast for a while there.
It's all good. And we'll see.
They saw I was having so much fun, they wanted to join.
Exactly. And I see that Shannon, I think, just dropped out. But Shannon, it was a pleasure to have you on the show. And we'll see you guys.
For Shannon. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you at C6. You got to come, Michael. You got to come to C6.
Yes, I will definitely be there because I live here. So,
all right. And quick shout out to Brian, also known as Lane Winry. Are you on, Brian?
I am on.
He's
on. Who invited him?
Very unfortunate timing, Brian. We just got done talking, but we'll let you go, Nancy.
Yeah, I didn't
Michael.
Quite break enough land speed records to get here in time.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Opinion on the no?
Has that been what you guys been talking about?
Pretty much the whole time.
Not the whole
fantastic.
Time.
Okay, opinion on the no. From a strictly critical perspective, I think it detracts from the scene, but it doesn't ruin the movie. The general reaction to it has been overblown. I don't like it, but that's not going to stop me from enjoying the heck out of the Blu-rays when they come out on Friday.
All right. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I want to see deleted scenes.
And one last time before we let you all go. Oh, Shannon got back on. Hello and goodbye, Shannon. But before we all go,
hi,
it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
I want to say hi to Brian.
Do you think we'll ever do another live show? Maybe not. Some would say, well, put it this way. Some would say yes, and some would say... And we will talk to you guys later. All right, take care, guys.
Bye.
So,
Bye.
Whew. Wow, that was quite the discussion, Mark. I haven't had a chance to talk about that at all. It was a lot of fun to talk to all of you guys. Shannon, Brian, I'm really sorry that we weren't able to get you. I know you weren't able to come on a little bit earlier, but it was fun to actually talk to you guys. Mark, we've got some emails to read.
Emails. Nice.
Printing out emails, to steal from the Anomaly podcast. Printing out emails. We need an email, a jingle for us. But let me read the first one. This comes from...
It's a Star Wars emails. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two of them are from...
Oh, yeah, James. We have, let's see, two from Mr. All right, let's jump over to, let's see. From James, I would love to see a mini show or movie, and I would love to see a history-type documentary of the history of the Star Wars galaxy from the beginning of the galaxy to the legacy era, James. And I'll go ahead and read his second email. He says, I know I'm a few, if not a lot, of episodes behind, but I will catch up. I think
In reference to our show.
In reference to our show, yeah, because he just started listening. So he says, love what you're doing, keeping me up to date with my favorite school subject, if it was offered in school. Even though you were solo this episode, it was still good. He's referring to my solo episode. There's no way I could be that entertaining for that long. Well, you flatter me, but I don't know if I was that entertaining. I had to get the episode out somehow. Back in the technical difficulties days. We've never had technical difficulties since then, have we? No.
No.
Okay, sorry.
Our listener is going to be so sick of that.
All right, I need to have that button more handy. Also, he continues, he says, you mentioned something about what you want to focus on for fans when you go to conventions. Please keep an eye out for the MMO SWTOR. What's that? The tour game. Not coming out this year, by the way. I think, James, when he catches up to some more episodes, he'll find out a little bit more of my opinions on tour that he might not like as much. But that's okay, that's okay. We will be covering The Old Republic. It's a big part of the Star Wars galaxy. But he says, he's already pre-ordered it, and everything, anything we can hear about as far as rumor goes, he would love to hear about it. Thanks a lot from James. And he says in parentheses that I was surprised to get emailed back so soon. James, that's a policy that we do here. We email back everyone and try to read everyone's emails, and we have so far. We have a good track record of having everyone's email.
Same with our forums.
Yeah, exactly. So join our forums, send us an email. That means we will respond. All right, where was I?
Next email with Jesse.
All right, this one is from Jesse. Now, let me let Bethany read this one.
Okay. All right. Jesse starts with, hello, Rescue Ranger Riley. Hello, Bethany Bear. More like a Care Bear, which...
All right, wait, stop.
Yeah?
Let me read. He said, again, quote, hello, I kind of imagine it. Hello, Rescue Ranger Riley. Hello, Bethany Bear. More like a Care Bear. Hello, Marky Mark and other funky marks. I think this is from Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. it does sound like that, but yeah, thanks for the email, Jesse.
First, I would like to say congrats to Mark and his family for the future Padawan.
Yay!
Hey, thank you.
Second, thank you for posting updates about DragonCon. Well, you're welcome.
You're most welcome.
Now to the good stuff. The Blu-ray will be released in a matter of 10 days, and I, like many others, am super excited.
Three days.
That bothers me is scenes from a list that was published a few weeks ago, and to my amazement, there wasn't anything that made me too excited. I wish that they had added a bunch of deleted vintage scenes and Star Wars in concert. Star Wars in concert would be
with surround sound, high definition. I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, well, it makes me think about one of the lost episodes we had when we had Pete Morrison on, and we were talking about what deleted scenes would be cool to see, you know, and when they put that list out, I was thinking the same thing. I wanted to see more spaceships, maybe even have a few of the Clone Wars new edition of the Y-Wings with some of the old ones and stuff, you know, so you kind of got the feel of they were more connected. Obi-Wan and Vader's fight, that was the main one we were talking about, you know, adding new scenes there. I mean, it wouldn't be hard to have Obi-Wan from the back with the cloak up, hood up, you know, have a young actor doing some faster movements. Anybody could put on Vader's suit and do that. You know, add a couple scenes there, and then we had that whole laugh about, you know, Obi-Wan swung first. But, you know, I was thinking the same thing when I saw that list, that there could have been a lot more scenes really added. I was kind of thinking about.
Yeah, that would be nice. Oh, sorry, I took the email from you, Bethany. There you go.
Alrighty. Season 4 is almost here, and I am so looking forward to this season. I just hope that they don't shove Padme down our throats again like Season 3. Now, I like Padme, but some people weren't very much of a fan of some Padme. Of the political. Season 4 looks to have a lot of action and maybe a lot of Anakin doing dark deeds. He goes on to say, Red Tails, so awesome. So looking forward to this movie. And about the Lego cartoon. Yes, we fight.
We fight.
We fight.
We fight.
We fight. The Lego cartoon.
We fight.
Yes, the Lego cartoon was fantastic. I love the totally awesome kid. Is he the same kid that was taking a bunch of pics of everything?
I'm not sure. Have you seen the Lego special, Mark?
No, not like, yet.
Oh, Bo Shane.
Lost the cable. Well, we did that whole Netflix thing, and Star Wars is not on Netflix. I'm just like, no.
Oh, yeah. Well, Netflix is an awesome alternative.
Mm-hmm. As for reading, do any of you play an official Star Wars soundtrack while reading? If not, you should try it.
Oh,
hearing Star Wars music while reading brings the book more to life.
It does, and I have not done it with a Star Wars book.
I have multiple playlists.
Oh, yeah?
You haven't?
I've done it with...
Are you kidding me? I have multiple playlists. Creepy Star Wars, New Jedi Order. I mean, you name it. I had different playlists. I'd had songs on demand, ready to go.
Nice.
Duel of Fates is always a great one to do.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, and I have done that with the Lord of the Rings, actually, reading the books and listening to the film score. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done that with Star Wars. I have to do that with Star Wars. We've certainly done it doing our audio dramas before, but yeah.
And I really enjoy listening to soundtracks while I'm studying and working and, well, while doing anything. I love music. And before I leave...
I'll tell you this, though, guys. I'll tell you this real quick, though. The Duels, Linkin Park always sounds great to the Duels.
What I've done.
And he says, before I leave, I would like to say, lower hardcover books. Speaking of prices.
Yeah.
Why do they have to be so expensive? I'm happy with paperbacks, even though I may have to wait for a while. LOL.
Yeah.
The three of you have a great one and talk to you soon. Jesse A.
Jesse, thank you for your email. Yeah. A lot of good thoughts there. Lego, we're going to get you the Lego special, Mark. We've got to get it to you, I'm sure. Actually, it'll be on DVD soon, so we'll have to... we need a review copy.
I know,
copy.
That's what I'm seeing.
A review copy. Our sophisticated opinions on the Lego special there. But yeah, that was... Thank you so much for the people emailing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, to steal from Geek Out Loud again, to all three of our contributors to talk about Dragon Con and come on the podcast to do that. Thank you guys so much. And that's going to wrap up episode 15 of the Star Wars Report. Yes, indeed. That does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report, but it was a good time. A good time was had by all. Thanks for coming on, as always, Mark. Hello? Not again. Does he have his microphone muted? I bet he does.
Oh,
there
I'm here. No, I did.
It happened.
And the little pop-up. Oh, Windows 7, you're so great until that pop-up comes up and it blocks the mute button.
Oh, yeah. It's a curse. It's a curse. It's a curse. But no, thank you, Mark, for coming on. It's always fun to do these episodes with you. And a good time. We're looking forward to seeing you by Celebration 6. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, no. No, I'm like, you know, everybody's like, I need it to be now. And I'm like, I need a little farther away. I got some saving to do. I got to cross the country here.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, it's less than a year. Hard to believe. Celebration 6 coming up. Bethany, thank you for coming on as always.
And I enjoyed it as always.
Yeah, good time. I guess one thing could be said to summarize this whole episode. It's always interesting whenever you say... No! Don't say no. Be the yes man. So, I have no idea where I was going with it. I just wanted to hit the button again. All right, that's going to do it. If you want to contact us like Jesse did and like James did, send us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. Don't forget, we have Twitter and Facebook. We were talking a little bit about it in the pre-show, but technology is changing the way we can communicate with each other, and that certainly makes it awesome to talk to you listeners, which we do all the time on Twitter, at Star Wars Report, and at Facebook, our page, our fan page. You can click on, give us a like. If you like us, you can go over to facebook.com/StarWarsReport. And I always forget this, but I remembered this time. Please, let me go ahead and fold my hands. It would be wonderful if people could send us some iTunes reviews. Because iTunes reviews really helps the folks over there at iTunes to find out that people are interested and are listening. And that really helps us with the rankings and more people find our podcast, which is certainly awesome. We'd like to share our Star Wars journey, we'll put it that way, with as many people as possible. So head over to iTunes and leave us a review. I'm going to steal from another podcast. Make it good. But yeah, yeah, that would be awesome if you guys can leave us some iTunes reviews or Zune reviews. Help people find us on the Zune Marketplace. And that's pretty much going to do it for this episode. That's it. Episode 15 in the can. So for myself, I'm Riley. Oh.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Mark.
And he's Mark. Thank you so much for coming on, Mark. And that's going to do it. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
I look forward to it as a family.
What happened? Are we still alive in there? I heard a crash. The lack of response is not reassuring, Bethany.
What?
I think somebody dropped a microphone. Go ahead, Michael. Oh, what? This is an AT-AT walker in there.